I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Good to be back with you again.
The aspect of conducting a formal due diligence on a commercial property is not something that we've really covered during these sessions. Is it something you would normally undertake for every property purchase?
Well, behind this question lies the need for you to fully understand what due diligence really means. And furthermore, when should you actually consider undertaking an in-depth due diligence study? You see, it's not appropriate nor often cost-effective for you to undertake a due diligence study on every property. And generally, the advice I give to clients is that it's not until you purchase a standalone property or something over $1 million that you should be spending the money on a detailed due diligence report. Now, hopefully, as we move through this session today, that will become a lot clearer.
So, what exactly is due diligence?
Okay, perhaps let me give you my definition of what due diligence is. It involves a systematic review and analysis of the property you are about to purchase, purely to confirm the physical and financial aspects accord with what's been represented by the selling agent. Now, my approach is always not to antagonise the vendor. We simply say, look, we accept everything you say. We're not going to challenge that. However, once we've agreed the commercial terms, we just want the right to verify all those. And if you know they're going to come up smelling roses, you won't have a problem with that. So for the purpose of today, I'm going to leave aside the legal aspects of any due diligence because your lawyer, as a matter of course, will check through all the lease documentation and the contract itself. However, you will need to check that the financial aspects represented to you at the outset match up with those specified within the final documents. And so, moving on to the building itself, there are three main areas that a due diligence study will cover, and these include the architectural and structural elements, the mechanical and electrical components, and hydraulics and fire protection. However, each of these involve an analysis of different components within the building itself.
What sort of things would usually fall within your architectural and structural due diligence?
Well, this is where your building consultants will assess the building facade, the various walls, both the glass curtain walls and the masonry perimeter walls, the roof and its guttering, as well as the ramps, stairs, and other landscaping that surrounds the building. Now, they will also look at the driveways, the car parking, and the retaining walls on the boundary of the property. And then the building consultants will look at the things like the public areas, which will include entry lobbies, internal walls, floors and ceiling finishes, meaning the carpets and the tiling, and also the internal stairways plus the various amenities, including the kitchenettes, that will be located generally on each floor within the building.
And what about the mechanical and electrical aspects?
Well, with mechanical and electrical, they'll generally start by fully describing all of the existing systems and then commenting on the condition of the existing plant and electrical services, covering things like the lifts, the switchboard, and the various other components. Now, as part of that analysis, they will look at the service records which need to be provided by the managing agent as a matter of law, and they can then tell whether the property has been, or the components in the property have been properly maintained on a regular basis. Then their report will assess how well all of that complies with the BCA and Australian standards, and also comment on any corrective measures that need to be undertaken in order to rectify any non-compliance or lack of maintenance.
And I think the final area you mentioned was hydraulics and fire protection.
Well, once again, your consultants will start by describing the existing hydraulics and fire protection systems in respect to things like the hot and cold water, the sewerage, the storm water and existing sprinklers and the other alarms, etc. Now, once again, there is an assessment made as to whether these systems comply with current regulations and what needs to be done to rectify them if they don't. And finally, they usually make some broad calculations as to each of these systems' capacity to cope with the property's needs going forward.
Presumably, your expert consultants will require a fair amount of technical information in order to complete their in-depth investigations?
Well, of course, yes, they do, because they don't want to start from scratch. Their job is one of verification, not creation of the documentation. And they need things like the architectural plans and elevations of the building, obviously the services documentation, including specifications, so they can make a gauge as to whether the plant and equipment is adequate for the size of the building. They need detailed as-installed drawings showing each component of the building, again, to check that what was intended to be installed has been. They also will review the operating and maintenance manuals, as I said, for the various services to ensure that they have, whether it's air conditioning or lift, motor room, and the components in there have been fully serviced on a regular basis, and that they want to cite all the contracts for those services to make sure that they're current and in place. And also the original building certification from the responsible authorities to make sure that the certificate of occupancy is valid and the building is fit for occupation. Now, for those of our listeners who have worked with me on an acquisition of a property that is worth more than $1 million, you will know that my purchase proposals include a rather detailed, it's a bit over a page, specifying the what we need to complete the due diligence. And part of putting it in the original purchase proposal is to alert the vendor as to what we want. And recently we had one where the vendor or the vendor's representative balked at having to allow us a due diligence period. And my initial response was very quickly, well, what's wrong with the building? And they took umbrage at that. And I said, well, unless you know there's some impediment or drawback to the building, you won't have a problem because it's effectively almost new building. And it should certainly pass muster as far as a due diligence report is concerned. But we provide the information so that when we finally get a sign-off on the deal, they can't suddenly, be shock or horror. Well, we didn't know you wanted all this information. We tell them that up front. It's very detailed. And when the contract is put together, we have, through our legal team, a standard clause which gets added to the contract, which reflects what has been pre-agreed in the heads of agreement.
Is that sort of information readily available?
Well, no, it's not always. And perhaps now you can see why it's not always practical to undertake a comprehensive due diligence study when you're buying a strata title property for under $1 million, which forms part of a much larger building. So unless the property is relatively new, you will most likely not be able to get your hands on much of this base building information. Besides, as you would have already seen a number of purchases, there would have been a number of purchases within the building if it's one of a number of strata titles. And it's reasonable to assume for the smaller properties that any of the potential teething problems that you're trying to research will have already been resolved. However, if you're purchasing a standalone property, you generally find that the original plans, the drawings, the service contracts and specifications are passed from one owner to the next, and therefore most of the required base building information should be readily available. So it's a judgment call, and one property recently we purchased, it was a strata title office in a larger building, is that we simply asked for verification that there were no major capital works in the pipeline as far as the owner's corporation was concerned. So we asked the vendor as part of the deal to verify that's the case. Now, the vendor wasn't fully appraised of it and found out that there was some capital works required through a leak in the roof. And so therefore we arranged in the contract for a retention amount at settlement, so that the vendor was liable over the next 12 months when the works were done to meet the cost of those, and it wouldn't be the responsibility of my client, the purchaser, to meet those capital costs being in the pipeline as far as the owner's corporation was concerned.
What form does the overall due diligence report usually take?
Well, if it is appropriate to undertake a due diligence study, the consultants I recommend come back to me with a 2 or 3 page preliminary email within 48 hours of inspecting the property. Now, your due diligence period, I generally ask for 28 business days and settle for a minimum of 14 business days. Now, as you can appreciate, 28 business days is almost 6 weeks by the time you take into account weekend. So that's an outlandish requirement. I refer to business days because it sounds smaller than, 6 weeks. But if you've got, let's say, 21 business days, that's effectively a month. So my consultants can get in and out and give us this preliminary report within 48 hours. Now, the important thing is that you never wait till the last minute to respond to the vendor with any concerns. But this report will give you a very clear understanding whether the property matches up to your expectations based on what you have been told leading up to finalising the commercial terms of your purchase. Now, the arrangement I have is that if there are any items needing rectification, the consultants will provide a budget estimate as to the amount to carry out that remedial works. Now, that quickly provides the vendors with the option of either rectifying any problems themselves or simply making a cash adjustment at settlement for you to undertake the work yourself. Now, in many respects, that's probably the preferred outcome because then you know the work's done properly. But as I said, we get the preliminary report first. The glossy report with photographs and all those sort of things can follow later. You just want to know whether the building is exactly what you thought you were buying. And by finding out that within 48 hours, if you've got, a 14-day as a minimum, that's effectively almost 3 weeks. But if you can go back to the vendor early, they can't then complain and get their noses out of joint that you waited till the very last moment before responding to problems you found. And invariably, as I said, if it's minor, they'll generally fix it. If it's major, you'll have a retention amount that is withheld. And then the ideal thing is for you to rectify it because, as I said, you pick the tradespeople, you make sure it's done properly, but you've already kept aside the amount to undertake those rectification works.
From my perspective, I've got to say this is a whole new world.
Well, as I mentioned, a formal due diligence is not something you will necessarily undertake for every property, but when appropriate, it's all part of my role to organise this on behalf of clients, purely to verify that they're getting exactly what they think they've just purchased.
Well, all of that now makes a lot of sense.